This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the survey of teachers made big news yesterday. And in some ways, when we'll get to this, you know, it's no huge surprises, right? But the headline in CT Insider, thousands of Connecticut teachers dissatisfied with jobs facing burnout, according to a new survey. Kate Diaz, of course, president of CEA, Connecticut Education Association, joins us here on Brian and Company. Kate, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. You know, we're grateful to have the opportunity to talk about the things that are on our minds, I guess, as teachers.
Yeah. And you know, first of all, happy Thanksgiving and to you and everyone part of your association. First of all, before I ask the question, just for people who haven't been able to read either the survey or the articles on it, give us the two or three big takeaways.
I think the two or three big things to know is that teachers are really struggling with stress and burnout. And that is really contributed by the micromanagement of educators, the lack of respect, and really the low pay, the fact that our wages are just not competitive. So, you know, I think there are easy ways to do this, not necessarily cheap, but certainly easy ways to go about making big changes.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked, to me, this is no surprise. The burnout, stress, don't get enough respect, don't get enough money. But what, I mean, it's right, I mean, like the last, how many of these have been pretty consistent?
Yeah, they've been fairly consistent throughout the last 3-4 years. The big change was we saw that stress and burnout leapfrogged over low pay as the priority concern, which was kind of an interesting twist to see that, you know, we've been talking a lot about wages because that's what our teachers are talking about. And then they really kind of pushed that one slightly over the wages. I mean, they're both, you know, 97-96% of our teachers, but to see stress and burnout as the priority thing, what do we need to fix now?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I actually think they can be related, or you could make an argument that, you know, if the jobs paid more, more people will go into the field, so there'd be fewer shortages and there'd be less stress and burnout. You know what I mean? I think
you're absolutely right. One of the big stressors is the fact that teachers aren't doing one job. They're doing, you know, one and a half, right? They're covering other classes. Their class sizes are larger than normal. And we don't have the support services that we should have.
Okay. So here's the thing. We're talking with Kate Diaz, president of CEA here in Brian and Company, making real change. Like, because we know the results, we know what they're going to be. I don't think they'll change in the next survey. And that is what it, no, I truly, so like actionable,
no, you're not wrong.
Actionable change. So like, I think of like in real practical terms, like the stuff that President-elect Donald Trump is proposing, you know, in terms of really reducing the influence and impact of the Department of Education, there's some arguments out there. I don't know how I feel about it, but that if you loosen some regulations, free up the classroom a little bit, free up, I don't know about school choice, but if you reduce the overhead of this organization at the federal level, that could also mean more money to municipalities. Like, how do you view some of the stuff that's being thrown around?
Well, the stuff that's being thrown around at the federal level is really not that appetizing to me. I find that it kind of functions similarly to the concept of trickle-down economics of the Reagan era, and that really didn't work. So this notion that, you know, that might solve problems is not real to me. What's real to me is that we need to increase the absolute investment at the state level in our education system. We're currently funding public education in 2013 dollars. We haven't adjusted for inflation. And, you know, that alone has made our public funding for education stagnant. And, you know, those are the dollars that pay teachers, that pay social workers, that pay for, you know, paraprofessionals, the people that are supporting our students in the most important ways. And so If we don't tackle that, we're never going to move the needle that we really want to move.
But in practical terms, argue, you're saying that you want the state to give more money.
Absolutely. I think the state has an obligation to at least adjust their, you know, for inflation, the investment in education. If they did that, if they fully funded their special education obligation, we could do so much. We could absolutely start talking about raising wages and hiring special education teachers and additional wraparound services. So, you know, the investment is a place to start. I do think we have other things we can do. We can look at community school models. We can look at different professional development for the, you know, for our educators. That would be really impactful. We could start paying student teachers instead of, you know, putting them in classrooms for free, or in fact asking them to pay for the privilege of being an intern. You know, I think there's a lot of ways that we can continue to adjust the system, but functionally none of them are free.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, especially with this budget set up, I don't see that happening, right? So,
well, I do think they could do it. They could do it. It's whether or not we have the will. I mean, we're looking at the guardrails in the budget as though it is still 2017 and we're still in the same economic framework. You know, it's 2024. The economic situation has changed. We've been dealing with surpluses annually that are quite considerable. And it's time to decide where our priorities lie, whether or not we really want to protect and invest in the institution of public education. You know, you connect this to the disconnected youth, you connect it to the workforce issues. Public education is a source of workforce. It's a way to connect our youth, and but you got to invest in it. It can't do it without the resources.
So you at the CEA are supportive of tweaking the guardrails and some of that money, whether it's from the volatility cap or what have you, you'd like to see it channeled toward education.
Absolutely. I think it's time for us. You know, I think our legislature did what it needed to do with the guardrails, and I respect that. But I think if we leave those stagnant, it's no better than any other program that we fail to ever go back and reflect on. So it's time for us to look at what the guardrails are doing and whether or not there's room to make adjustments to those. I'm not suggesting a full repeal of them. I'm not crazy and reckless. Because I want Connecticut to maintain its fiscal stability. But I do think it's time for us to review, you know, the policy and say it's not 2017 anymore. So let's look.
Do you know what kind of number, what kind of number you think should be added to education to make it a meaningful change?
Well, if you want the real number, the adjustment for inflation is a $500 million adjustment. That adjusts us for inflation and just puts us into the 2024 dollars. Which I know on this, you know, it's this incredibly large number. But if we even set a target of, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years of adjusting for inflation properly, I'd be excited.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I've said it many times on the show. I mean, budgets usually get eyes to gloss over. But I think this next 6 to 8 months are going to be really intense here in Connecticut. I really do. I think it's a big deal.
Agreed.
Yeah. Kate, have a great holiday. Thank you for the time.
You too. Thank you, Brian.